Ever since this wonderful move of the Spirit started, all down through the years, God has always taught us new and different things. Especially in the beginning, there were many things that God revealed to us that we had to change our minds about because of what we had learned in the old. And for many people, it is difficult to change your mind. And unless the Spirit of God comes and reveals that thing and really makes it real to you, then it's hard to believe it. And that's the way it was in the beginning with the things that God taught us through Revelation, that the Spirit of God had to come and make it real to us so that we could believe it, and not only believe it, but live it, become involved in it, if you will, until that thing became a part of us. And that's the way it was. And I think there were a lot of people in the beginning that sort of believed things in their heads, but they somehow didn't allow the Spirit of God to come and really saturate them with that thing that God was revealing at the time. And consequently, down the road a little ways, they left and went somewhere else. But I believe you people that have been here all these many years, year after year, camp meeting after camp meeting, somehow I believe that God at that time made something real to your hearts, something that no one can take away. I have often said that when God saved me, it would be very difficult for anybody to come along and say, now, you're not saved, because there was something happened in my heart at that time that convinced me of something different. When I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it would be hard for anybody to come and tell me that I hadn't received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that I had received something else, because I have had the experience, and I know that which has happened to me through experience, and something happened in my life that changed my life and made me something different than what I was before. And so we have to prepare ourselves for change, and we have to prepare ourselves sometimes to start thinking differently. And I want to talk to you about something tonight that has been going over in my heart for a long, long, long time. And I never really felt to talk about it until today. And this morning, as the meeting went on and the prophecies went forth, the wonderful anointing of the Spirit that was in the meeting, I felt more and more convinced that I would like to talk a little bit about this subject. God said this morning on several occasions that we are entering into a new day. And I believe that. God told us that in the beginning of the move. He said the heavens would be open. He would show us great and mighty things. He said a door would open. And we could walk into that door, into a realm that we had never experienced hitherto. And you know as well as I do, if you've had the experience of entering into this glorious thing that God is doing, that you went into a new realm, a new world, as it were, something different than what you had been accustomed to back in the old way.
And I'm not speaking against the old way, because it did a lot for us down through the years. And I thank God for what it did for us. But somehow God opened a new door for us, and we were able to walk into it and enter into a new realm, in the realm of the Spirit. And I thank God for that, and you ought to thank God for it. But today, I believe God wants us to enter, to begin to enter into another realm that we haven't yet entered into completely. I'm not going to tell you anything new. At least I don't think it's altogether new. But I believe it has to do with the hour in which we are living now. All down through the years, all of these ministries down here, we have all spent a lot of time talking to the young people, trying to encourage them to live right, to do right, to walk right, and to enter into the realm of the Spirit. And that's wonderful, and many of them have. Some of them have fallen by the wayside, but many of them have, and I thank God for the wonderful young people that we have. There are no young people any better anywhere in all the world. And I don't say that just to flatter you or anything like that. I mean it from the depths of my heart. But tonight, you young people can listen. If you want to, I don't want you to go home. But I want to talk to the older people, like Brother Witter and some of these older ones. I thought I'd like to get back at him a little bit there. He figured he was in that middle area where nothing could touch him, you know. God taught us a long time ago that there was something out there that we could attain to. The possibility was there. And this is concerning life. Now you say, well, aren't we young people going to enter into that? Oh, yes, you are, but I want to talk to the older ones because they think they're going to enter into it sooner than you are. But I'm going to discourage them from that, if I can. We're not going to enter into the thing that God is doing. We're not going to enter into life by trying. We're going to enter into that by believing. People, sometimes they put so much effort into trying. They try. They try to get rid of this. They try to get rid of the other thing. They try to get rid of something else. They try to do this and they try to do the other thing. And they're very unsuccessful. And they get very discouraged. But what we've got to do tonight is to start believing the things that God has revealed to us by His Holy Spirit. We casually believe some of these things. But we have to get them right down in our heart and really believe that God meant what He said when He said that there's life for the saints of the Most High God. There's a life for a look at the crucified one. Abram, it says he believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. And Abram, way back there, he saw a city, away off in the distance. He saw a city that was being built, but it was being built not by men's hands. This was a building, this was a city, a spiritual city made up of those that God was choosing. And there is a city rising in the earth in this day. Hallelujah. By the Spirit of the living God, there is a city rising, a new Jerusalem coming into this realm. Hallelujah. And we are a part of that. Hallelujah. Amen, saints of God. Amen. Brother Crawford and I, we seem to have problems. If they could tie our hands and our feet, Jack, we'd be all right. But then maybe we wouldn't be able to talk. First of all, I want you older people to listen to me. I'm not too many years behind some of you, but I'm not going to tell you how far behind I am. I am just going to let you ponder that. And somebody says, well, you act like 20. Well, that's what I am. First of all, I want to say this to you older ones. Who should I talk to here? Anybody over 50 or over 60 or... Well, anyway, whoever you are, sometimes we get to a certain age and certain things start happening to us, and right away we say, well, that is because I'm getting old. I'm getting the rheumaticles because I'm getting old. My eyesight is failing because I'm getting old. I'm getting hard of hearing because I'm getting old. My stomach isn't working the way it ought because I'm getting old. And all these kind of things. My hair is falling out. Oh, because I'm getting old. And all these kind of things are happening to us. Not because we're getting old. And we're not doing one thing about it because we are accepting it as something that is necessary, as some evil thing that is coming upon us, as something that we expect to happen in our old age. But I want to tell you tonight, as God said, we're entering into a new day. There's a new day coming when these things ought not to be, and they will not be. Oh, hallelujah, saints. There's got to be a day when these things have got to stop. And God said they would. Listen to me, you older people. Don't despair. Don't sit there and say, oh, well, just I don't know if there'll be any. Maybe this will be the last camp meeting I'll be able to get to. I don't think I'll ever make it to another one. Of course you will. I wrote an article in the Sharon Star. I don't know if anybody read it or not, but I wrote about thinking. Having your thoughts on the right thing. And if you have your thoughts always on your old age, on your aches and your pains and all those kind of things, that's the way you're going to be. Don't think death. You know, pretty well every evangelist, they call themselves that anyway, on the television, one of the things they're always saying is, are you ready to die? If you should die within the next 5 minutes, would you go to heaven? Death, death, death. Don't talk about death. Let's talk about life. Don't talk about your age. I just wrote a few of these things down as I was sitting there at my desk thinking about this. Well, I'm 82 now. My son was telling us, maybe I shouldn't tell you how old he is, because then maybe you'll figure out how old I am. And I don't want you to know that. But anyway, there came a time in his life when he was going to be 40 years old. And, of course, I was married very young. He was going to be 40 years old, and he phoned us on the phone, and he said, I'm going to be 40 years old. And he said, I am really discouraged. He says, you know, well, when I get to be 40, I'll be over the hill. Winner. Then he's in that middle category. 40 over the hill. Here's something I want you to listen to. Keep doing as much of what you have always been doing as long as you can. Don't quit and say, oh, I'm getting too old. It hurts, you know. My legs ache when I do that. Keep on doing it anyway. I'm going to get down to some scriptures after a little while here. Don't continually talk about your frailties. You know, people love to talk about their operation. I don't know what I said wrong there, but it's your... But people, you come to them and you say, well, how are you today, Jack? Oh, my rheuma tickles is sure getting to me today. How are you doing, Mary? Oh, I keep getting that headache all the time. That headache just keeps bothering me day after day. You know, sometimes I may not be feeling so wonderful, but somebody says, how are you doing, Peter? Oh, great. You say, well, you're lying. Well, maybe that kind is okay, is it? Well, you're not going to help anybody by telling them how bad you feel. There was a professor on the way to university one time, on the way to school, and some of the kids were going to try a little psychology on him. And so they knew the route he was going to walk through town, the way he always walked to school. So they had three or four of them stationed along the way that would meet him. The first one met up with him, and they said, well, good morning, sir. And hey, what's wrong with you? You look so pale. And
And, are you feeling okay? Oh, yeah, I'm feeling all right. And he walked down a block or two, and somebody else met him and said, well, hey, you look terrible today. What happened to you? You must have been out late last night or something. And he said, well, no, but he started to wonder if he really was feeling bad or not. And by the time he got through the fourth, when he turned around, went home, went to bed. Now, if you would like to turn to a few scriptures, I have quite a few. Joshua, maybe you don't have to bother turning to them, but you could write them down anyway, and maybe they'll be a help to you. In Joshua, the 14th chapter, you remember Caleb? He was one of the two men that went to spy out the land and into that wonderful promised land. And he came back and he said, we are well able to take the land. He said, there are giants there and all this kind of thing. But as far as he was concerned, it didn't make any difference. God was with him, and God was able to overcome every obstacle that was in his heart. And here in the 14th chapter, I will read the 10th verse and the 11th verse. And now, behold, the Lord hath... this was concerning his inheritance. And he said, now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spoke this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. How old is that? 85 years old, he said. Today I'm 85, but listen to what he says. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day, for thou heardest in the day that the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Hallelujah. That's the kind of stamina we need. That's the kind of something that we need to believe God. 85 years. Well, that's not very old. Anybody here 85? Nobody. Well, sister, I would never have believed it. Never believed. You don't look a day over 50. Like the fellow in India, the people are little, and I thought they all looked a lot older than they were. So I'm not usually asking people how old they are, but this fellow, he was a grandpa, and so I said to him one day, I was just curious, I said, how old are you anyway? He said, I'm 59. And I thought I looked so young and so lovely and everything that if I asked him to guess my age, he'd probably say about 50, you know. So I said, well, how old do you think I am? And he looked at me and he said, well, oh, about 70. So sometimes it pays to keep your mouth shut. In Deuteronomy 5, the Lord makes a lot of promises, And the 33rd verse, he said, ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that ye may live, and that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. I remember the story Brother Holt told a long time ago. It was kind of a silly story, but it he said this fellow wanted to be buried in a gold Cadillac. Well, I'd rather live in one than be buried in one. I have no desire to be buried at all. Maybe I will be, I don't know. But I'm not looking in that direction. I'm looking in a different direction. And that's what I want you to do, you older ones, especially because sometimes you get discouraged. You think because you're getting sick and because you're getting old, you've only got one or two or three or four years left. But I think this is the time God wants us to begin to start thinking of that other realm that He's opened the door for us to enter into. And the saints of God are going to enter into that realm. In Deuteronomy 34, I hope you don't get tired of me talking because I might be talking for a long time. In verse 7, he said, and Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural forces abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. I think that's a good lesson for a lot of people. Some people mourn for someone, loved one that has gone. They keep mourning for them for years. God doesn't want you to do that. You may never forget them, but stop your mourning. There's a time of mourning, and then there's a time to carry on with your life. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. In the 30th chapter, I'd like to read this. Verse 15. 30th chapter of Deuteronomy, that is. Verse 15. He said, see, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil. And then in verse 19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Now you say, well, that was a way back there. I know it was a way back there, but God has a way of bringing that message to us from a way back there and applying it to us in this day and age in which we live. I'm not going to read this, but in the 90th Psalm, I think it's the 10th verse, it says, your days will be 70 and 10. How many is that? Say it louder. 70. 70. But sister is 85. What happened to you? I'm not going to ask who's over 70. There are a few here that are. Pardon? Brother Reed says he's just turning that way. Just thinking about it. 70. That is what we were allotted. And then he says, if by reason of, what's the word he uses? Strength. You attain a little bit more. Well, that's okay too. And we're living in an age with science and all these kind of advances. Whether they're helping us or not, I'm not sure. But people are living to be 100, 101, 2, 3, 4. But we, who are God's people, are not going to live 100 and 150 by the strength of scientific advances. We are going to live by the strength of the Most High God. Hallelujah! I'm not speaking against science, but there's something that God wants to develop in the saints of the Most High God. He wants to instill into them His life. Not medicine, not pills, not science, but life of Christ. He wants to instill into our very beings. Hallelujah! Into our bodies and into our spirits. Oh, hallelujah! Let's look to that, saints. You know, Abram was quite a man. He lived to 175, which was kind of short in his day. But he was 99 years old when he fathered a son. And how did he do that? It was by the strength that God put within his body and in Sarah's. He didn't go to the doctor and say, look, Abram, I'll give you a few of these pills and you take them 3 times a day for 2 weeks and everything will be okay. And Sarah, you drink this bottle of stuff and everything will be okay with you. Oh, no. God said you will have a baby. You will have a son. You will have a seed as the sands of the seashore and as the stars in the sky. And he said it will come through that channel that I will make possible for you. God did it. Don't think I'm talking against pills and all that. I think a lot of people get a lot of help from some of these medicines and so on. But I think sometimes we overdo them. We rely on them too much. The minute we get a little ache or a pain, bingo, where's the medicine chest? And if the bottle is empty, we get all confused and frustrated and wonder, hey, what's going to happen? No pills, no nothing. There was a fellow in the Old Testament, he died, it says, because he didn't ask God, he went to the doctor. I could read that to you, but I don't know where it is right now. Methuselah lived to be 900 and Were you there? 969. Almost 1,000 years. Adam was 930. Enoch was 365. And it says he walked with God. And he didn't die. They looked for him. They couldn't find him. Because God had taken him. You see, saints, I'm talking about something that sounds so impossible because this other way has always been that way for years and years. And a thing that has always been for so long, we expect that it will always be. But in the realm of the Spirit, we've got to start expecting that things will reverse. God, by His Spirit, is able to start reversing that aging process and start renewing your youth. He said you would renew your youth like the eagles. Listen to this. Noah was 600 years old when the flood came. Yes, sir, that's right. And you know what happened to him after the flood was over? He didn't go to the store and buy a rocking chair and say, well, now look, I'm 600 years old. I think that's enough for me. He went farming. That's what the Bible says. Noah went farming. He became a husbandman. In John 10 and 10, it says that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, maybe I'm wrong in doing this, but I put this into three categories. I put it into life, abundant life, and more abundant life. Life, I may not have it all, and I may not have it all just the way it ought to be, I'm not sure, but life, I figured, is when a person gets saved. He gives his heart to the Lord. He enters into a life. The abundant life contains the baptism, healings, gifts of the Spirit, wonderful. But the more abundant life contains all those things and all the promises of life and the conquering of death. How about it now? Do you feel any younger? Not you young guys. You always feel young. You can sprout around like a bunch of chickens and you never seem to get tired. But you start looking to God, and I am sure, I am convinced in my own heart that you will start to feel different in your life and in your body. I want to read to you from Hebrews a scripture that is so often read And most of the time, it is misquoted. In the 27th verse of the 9th chapter of Hebrews, people are so prone to say, well, you're going to die, it's appointed to man once to die. But that's not what the scripture says. I want you to read it. I'll read it, and you listen to exactly what it says. It says, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And in the second chapter of Hebrews, we read this verse here in the 9th verse. He said, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Hallelujah! That he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Does that include you? Does that include you, Sister Wallers? Amen. Jerry, you too. Brother Reed. Amen. Sister Warren. Amen. Amen. How about it? Amen. Hallelujah. All you over 60, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't tell me you're too weak for that. I was at a meeting one time and the people were so dead that I said, I think maybe we should learn how to praise the Lord. So I said, okay, now I'll say praise the Lord and we'll all say praise the Lord together. And so I said, praise the Lord. And they said, praise the Lord. And then I said it again. And after a while, a few people got them stirred up a little bit. But one fellow got up and he said, I don't need anybody to teach me how to praise the Lord. And he stormed out of the meeting, and he was the only one in the whole crowd that really needed it. I haven't looked at my watch. I'm not old enough to tell the time yet, anyways. Psalm 71, verse 18. And now also, well, maybe I shouldn't read this one. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have shown thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to everyone that is to come. That's what we want to do. We want the world to see and to know the power of God that he has placed within his people. And there is no better way, I don't believe, than to have that life surging through our beings. That sister that was here this morning, Brother Wager was telling us, that had the poison ivy, it was clearing up much better. Much better. Amen. Well, of course, what else can you expect? You know, people sometimes are surprised when somebody gets healed. I am surprised when they don't. And that's the way we ought to be. Verse 24. Let's see. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long. For they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. I want to say this to you older ones, that there are a lot of people in this world that try to take advantage of you because of your age. They'll steal from you. They'll hoodwink you. They'll confuse you. They'll do everything in their power to get what little money or what little possession that you have. You just ask God to give you wisdom. He'll fill that heart and that mind of yours with a new wisdom and a new life that you never knew you could have. And you could put all these fellows to rout. Sure. I got to read this verse. In the seventh verse, he said, I am a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Isn't that something? I said I was going to read quite a few scriptures. Jeremiah. I better look at my watch. Oh, it's not too bad yet. 30:16. Jeremiah 30:16. Therefore all they that devour thee shall be devoured, and all thine adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity, and they that spoil thee shall be a spoil. And all that prey upon thee will I give for a prey, for I will restore health unto thee. And I will heal thee of thy wound, saith the Lord. Because they called thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion whom no man seeketh after. Ha! These are only Christians. What do they know? All this world needs today, it's just a little bit of God's wisdom to straighten out the mess that it's in. And that's what God is going to give you. That's what God's going to give His people. The wisdom to set the wrongs right. Look at the terrible things that are happening. These people that, what's that? That steal a plane. What do they do? Hijack. I couldn't think of the word. I got some other words I could call it, but. They'll blow up a plane with 270 some people in it, and they think nothing of it. They think they're doing somebody a favor. That's the mind that's in men today. But the mind, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. In 2 Peter, I'm going to hurry along here. It says that in the second chapter of Peter, the second Peter, first chapter, in the third verse, he says, he's given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Where are they? He has given them to us. We have got to start looking for them. Will you do that? Please, you older ones, all of us, let us very seriously start looking to God to enter into that realm that maybe we've already entered into somewhat. I don't know how far. But maybe not far enough. In John 11, 25 and 26, it says, he that believeth, liveth and believeth in me shall have everlasting life. There must be something to attaining this life that has to do with living and with believing. I don't think any old reprobate that lives any old way at all can hope to enter into that. I think it has to do with those that will walk with God like Enoch did and believe God for these things. Right? Well, there are a number of scriptures, and I'm not going to read them all. There's one in Proverbs 4, 20 and 21, where he says he'll give health to all their flesh. Third John 2, I'm just going to read that because I'm not just sure. I just wrote the scripture down. I'm not sure what it says. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper. So there's got to be a connection with the way we walk with God, with our believing, and with our entering into those things that God wants us to have. In 1 Corinthians 6 and 20, he says that we're to glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, most translations leave out that last part. But I don't know how you're going to glorify God in your body. You have to live right, first of all. And if you can walk on and on and on in that life, there's nothing more glorifying to God than that. In Psalm 103 and 5, he speaks of renewing your youth like the eagle. Well, some of us need that. Apparently the eagle, when he gets to a certain age, he goes and crawls away somewhere. And after a while, all the old feathers and all his old skin and everything else, he shakes and shakes and shakes, and it all comes off. And he's a new eagle. And he's sitting up there on the edge of the cliff, and he's looking around, and he looks back at that old thing, and he says, get away out of here. I don't need you anymore. You're gone. You're done with. I don't need you. And he takes a jump, and he flies off, and he soars away up into that realm again. A new eagle. Isaiah 40 and 31. But they that wait upon the Lord, there's a condition, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. Boy, do we get tired. Wow. Anybody here never get tired? These little kids, they never get tired. When they're finished, they just zonk out. And they're gone. You know. And they shall walk and not faint. Now, I'm going to just close off here in a minute. I said before that so many people are asking the question, are you ready to die? My question is, are you ready to live? And it takes a lot more effort to be ready to live than it is to be ready to die. You're thinking about that one, aren't you? Oh, yeah, you can get saved and you're ready to die. But if you want to walk with God, you have to learn to live peaceably with all men. That's not easy. My wife finds it very difficult sometimes to live. We have to learn to be kind, to be loving. And all you redheads, not to lose your temper. Of course, it isn't only the redheads that do that. Some whiteheads do that too. Maybe a few bald heads. We have to learn to minister as God directs us. And that's not always easy. It may not be too easy for you even. But some of those of us who have been called to go to foreign fields, it's not easy. It would be far easier to stay at home, you brethren, than to go to Africa. The only thing that takes you there is not because you want to see the country, it's because there's something in your heart that's tugging at you and says, come over into Macedonia and help us. I had a letter from a brother in India just the other day, and he said, he calls me uncle, and these other fellows that have been there, they're all uncles, Uncle Wager and Uncle Smith and Uncle Berg and Uncle Hinchliff and whoever else has been there, what's his name? Kubasek. That's a hard one anyway. We love you. We enjoyed your ministry so much when you were here. And you know, you sit down and read a thing like that and it just makes you cry. And there's a tug in your heart that says, okay, I'm coming. I'm coming. Just hold fire a minute and I'll be there. Yeah, that's how you feel. Then you have to pray. And you have to read. And on and on and on. These are all things that are preparing you to live. So it's harder to live than to die. But I'd rather live. And so would you. We must start believing to enter into this new realm. Things are not always going to remain as they always have been in the past. And I wrote this down. The lifespan plunged from about 1,000 years down to 70, and it was a lot less than that. And if that plunged from that 1,000 years to 70, God is going to reverse that and cause it to go up. And as we believe and walk with God, that's what's going to happen. But that's why I felt tonight I wanted to talk to the older people to encourage you not to give up, not to despair, not to say I'm too old for this and I'm too old for that. I can't do this anymore and I can't do that anymore. But believe God and do the things that you can do. Keep as active as you can. Pray and seek God for that glorious entrance into that glorious realm. Not by the grave, but just rise up in that realm of the Spirit. Hallelujah! 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 I want everybody that's not ashamed, that's over 60. 60 is a little young. How about 65? Would you stand up? Anybody over 65? And I feel I'd like to pray for you. And if you don't feel like standing up and showing your age, why, that's all right. I'm going to sit down. Well, we have a lot of young people here. Amen. Our Father, we know that there is nothing impossible with you. We know that when we are weak, then we are strong. We know, Lord, how things have been in days gone by. People have been born and they've died. Some younger and some older. And this process has been going on for a long, long time. But Lord, it seems from the scriptures and from your glorious revelation that there has to be a turning around, that new life shall come to thy people, that they shall be renewed, their life shall be renewed as the eagles, and they shall rise up in that glorious realm of life and be a witness and a testimony to the world of the glory of God in our bodies. Hallelujah. God bless everyone that is standing. Give them faith to believe. Take away their aches and their pains. And Lord, take our minds off those things. Take our minds off the years that have gone on behind us. And let us look forward to the glory and the wonder that lies ahead of us in the future. Hallelujah. May your blessing and your anointing rest upon everyone in a special way that is standing upon their feet and upon those that are sitting down. Our God, I pray that you will instill faith into them, that they will remain as they are and not grow into that realm of age and decay. Oh, my Father, help us to believe. Help us, oh God, to believe. Help us to believe. Help us to believe. Help thou our unbelief, oh God, and help us to believe. Help us to enter in, oh God, I pray. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
All my children, did not I say when I first called you this way, that I would set before you an open door, and that you could walk into that open door, and that I would show you new ways that you could walk, and I would reveal unto you my truth. So this night I have opened up to you a new door. I have opened up to you a new realization. I have opened up to you a truth that is beginning to grasp your mind and your hearts. Oh, my children, lift up your hearts, lift up your souls, lift up your faith, and walk into that door which I have set before you, for that door shall bring you into life, which shall bring life to all creation.
Yes, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I'm going to say this before you sit down. The enemy is going to challenge you. He's going to challenge me. He'll challenge all of us. But you just tell him, get thee behind me, Satan. Because you don't savor of the things of God at all. You tell him that God has told you about life and that he has nothing to do with that. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. You have anything you want to say to me?
Seeing that you are all so young and youthful, I will only keep you but about 2 more hours. I have appreciated very much what the Spirit of God has stirred up our pure minds to remembrance of. And I am not going to add to, much less take away, what has been said. But I was thinking of this. That incorruptible seed, which is Jesus Christ, which has come to make his abiding place in these tabernacles of flesh, is that seed which is beyond change and decay. May the Spirit of God cause that seed to come to fruition in all of our lives. And I want to read just a few verses before we let you go. Brother Holt showed me a couple of verses here. But I would like to read from 2 Timothy. And I want you to see something here. The ministry that God has given you is a lifeline. I was sitting there kind of reminiscing, and I, sadly to say, I watched my dear mother decay before my very eyes because she neglected the ministry that God had given her. She went into a state where she wouldn't do what she once did. I talked to her one day about it, and I said, Mom, My mother spent hours on the telephone and not gossiping. She prayed for people that were, she'd have phone calls from the most unusual people asking her to pray for them. But after she took sick and my father passed away, mother kind of went into a state that grieved me. I would leave her and she'd sit and look at the ceiling. There was nothing mentally wrong with her. But I said to her, Mother, I said, why don't you exercise the ministry that God has given you? This came back so forcibly to me tonight. This ministry that God has given you, is not a spiritual toy. If you want to know, it is the very secret to this life that Brother Berg is talking to you about tonight. There is no retirement in the spiritual realm. The older you become, the wiser you become, and a greater understanding you have of God, because every day adds something to your experience. So if you are 85 years of age tonight, thank God for that. But that is not the end. It's the beginning of something that is far more wonderful than what you've ever experienced up to now. But listen to what Paul writes here. I'm just going to read it quickly. I wasn't going to read this far, but when Brother Burke said what he did about India, I will. Verse 4. It says, greatly desiring to see thee. 2 Timothy, the first chapter. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee. I want you to notice that, which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands. A gift isn't something that's sort of tacked onto you. It's something that is born by the Spirit of God. The laying on of hands means the imparting of. You have been imparted by the laying on of hands with that divine talent and ability to function as a member of the body of Christ. And to me, this is where your source of life dwells. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest. How? By the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. Where? In this body. That's where your life lies, my dear people. In that ability to function according to the indwelling presence of the lowly Nazarene. But is now made manifest, in that an awful voice, by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. Listen. Who hath abolished death. And hath brought life and immortality to light.
through the gospel,
whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am ashamed. I am not ashamed. But listen, for I know whom. I know whom I have believed. Not know about him, know him. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep how? By the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth where? In us. Stand up. Tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock, those of you that would be interested in helping us do some singing on the broadcast, I don't know whether I'll be here or not. This will be kind of a practice session, but I'll leave Marcus in charge, if you will, if you're wherever you are. If you'll meet here around 4 o'clock, and then we'll proceed from there. So please keep that in mind. As we go this evening, I'd like you to sing that chorus again, if you will. Oh, is there coffee over here? Oh. Okay. There is coffee being served in the dining room for adults only. No children. The canteen is for the children. So just bear that in mind. And you'll have a real good time of fellowship, I know. Could somebody come to the piano? Where are you? Brian, are you here? Somebody come. Andy Hazel, are you here? Well, has everybody gone home? Who's here? There you are. Trying to get these people to minister is like trying to prime a pump during a drought. Bless you, we're glad to have you. Wonderful name he bears. Sing it once again, will you? Full name he bears. Wonderful. Going to put it up a key or two so we can really sing it with all of our heart. Wonderful cow.
blessing, O God. Let that resurrection life rest upon us, O my Father, as we go to our places of rest. May even our spirits be quickened as we sleep, O Lord. Let the strength of the Spirit of God rest upon the young and old alike, we pray, that honor and glory may come unto thy precious holy name. Oh, the words, O God of life, of which we have partaken of tonight, we do give thanks. Be with us and bless our time of fellowship following, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night and God bless you.